We have a very good continuation this Sunday in this rite to the ideas that we presented last week that were a result of a discussion with a fallen away Catholic and one of the statements that he made. And of course, he said that St. Peter said that not St. Peter is involved. It's from the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, which we use throughout the whole of the Easter season in both rites of the Church, of the Latin Church. But it wasn't St. Peter who said it. Here it is reported to us by St. Luke, who wrote the Acts of the Apostles. And of course, here we have St. Peter, who's traveling around and going from places to places and baptizing as many people as he possibly could, which is, of course, their first and primal mission at that time. Not that we don't have that, but today we make a little bit longer preparation for the gift of baptism than they did then. Things have changed, not much, but they have changed. And so as St. Peter was explaining the realities of Christ to them, then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And of course the Holy Spirit is like the wind. He goes whither he wishes to go. We cannot hold him back. We cannot hold him forward. He goes whither he wishes to go. And so what he was trying to show at that time, and of course the first council of the Church, not an ecumenical council, but it might as well have been, the Council of Jerusalem in 49 AD, and this was about the same time, by the way, dealt with the situation of the Gentiles like Cornelius who are becoming Catholics. And of course the Jews demanded that the men of the Gentiles who came into the Church be circumcised. And our Lord did not want that. He did not demand that. And St. Peter eventually was to speak. And of course, you can see also in the Acts of the Apostles what this is. But here, we find that phrase that was quoted to us, or misquoted to us, and about which we spoke last week when we spoke about baptism. St. Peter, the first pope, says, who are we to forbid these people to be baptized just because they're not circumcised, since the Holy Spirit has come upon them? And of course, we do not know exactly how it did, but he does not report it. He reports it at Pentecost, which we shall celebrate in 2 weeks already. Thursday is the Ascension, which for traditional Catholics is a holy day of obligation, I remind you. And so, St. Peter, in a very quick tone of voice, says, can anyone withhold the water for baptizing from these people who have received the Holy Spirit even as we have? And of course, they saw it, they experienced it. And then he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, says St. Luke. And of course, this is what was misquoted. And he said, I think I need to be baptized again because I was not baptized in the name of Jesus. Well, if we go through the Gospels and the ascension of our Lord commands that the apostles and the disciples, of course, they grew by leaps and bounds. Today we are imploding. Then they were growing by leaps and bounds. That they should be baptized, go all to all the nations and baptize everyone in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that is the formula that must be used. If that formula is not used, it is the form of the sacrament of baptism. Every sacrament has a matter. In this case, it's the water and the person baptized, and the form, which is the words. in the Eucharist, the matter is the bread and the wine. The form is hoc est enim corpus meum, for this is my body. And then hoc est enim calix sanguinis mei, for this is the chalice of my blood. If that is not done, there is no Eucharist. There is no communion. There is nothing. And of course, we know that the majority of the world has nothing. They have lost it, and they wish to lose it. But many, many, many are coming back. All over the world. In Europe, in America, in South America, in Africa. And the hardest of those are Europe and South America, because they thought, because they were Spanish or Portuguese, that they had it all made in the shade. Pride, 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 the worst sin of all, the destroyer of everything else. But sooner or later, this is happening. And many young people, and of course, that's where it's at. Not the older people, sorry. It's the young people in their teens and 20s, and some of them in their 30s. But by that time, they're over the hill. That's why I'll be 30 on the day I die, and not until. They're coming back, not only to the church, but to the traditional mass of the church, which the council never said to get rid of it. Never, never, never. I will give $1 million to whoever finds that in the council. They use the council as their excuse. It's nonsense. It's poppycock. And so the Holy Spirit is given. St. Peter baptizes or commands, because he's not the only one there. Other apostles and disciples who were ordained bishops and priests by Christ, that they baptize everyone. Now, when he says in the name of Jesus, he says that which Jesus commanded. That means by the power of Jesus. And Jesus commanded, go out to all the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then in the Gospel, it gives you sort of an explanation of that which is happening. The reason for everything. As we say in French, la raison d'être, the reason of everything. As the Father loves me, so I love you. The Father sends the Son. And the Son loves us. And eventually, as we shall see, particularly in 2 weeks, he sends their Holy Spirit. And of course, the Holy Spirit is regarded as the love between the Father and the Son. And it is so perfect that it is also a person, an eternal person. Three persons in one God. And you are supposed to love one another, he says. And of course, everybody is always talking about love. And I have found it in my life that the experiences of those persons who continuously tell me, oh, I love you, Canon, I love you, Father, and I won't mention who, I could, are the first ones who do everything opposite to what that means. So it's not words, it's not just a kiss or whatever. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. The love of God. And the love of neighbor is to keep his commandments. And if we love our neighbor, and if we do love God, which I hope we do, then we will keep his commandments. And that's why it's a sin to break the commandments. And when it concerns the Ten Commandments, every sin against the Ten Commandments is virtually a mortal sin, especially if it's deliberate. Go one by one, and you can get my book and go back one by one. Now, there are many things that we do, faults and defects, galore. We have so many, we could never even count them. And all those are breaking of the commandments, but they're not deliberate. They're from our weakness, from our stupidity, from our lack of perfection. And we must always seek perfection. And that's what it means to love God and to love one's neighbor. So then, he reminds us, lest we decide that we can't do it. It's just too much for me. It was not you who chose me. If we're here, if we're members of his holy body on earth, the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, it is because he chose us, you and me, not because we chose him. Now, once he chooses us, he calls us, and that's what the word church comes from in Greek, kalain kaleo, and that is translated later to ecclesia as you go through the verb. Those who are called. Those who are called. By whom? By God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But it was not we who chose him. We respond to his call. He is the one who chooses us. And he appoints us. Whether we are a pope or a bishop or a priest or a religious or just the laity, he appoints us to go and bear fruit that will remain. And this fruit will grant that whatever we ask the Father in his name, he may give us. And he ends this pericope most beautifully. This I command you, keep my commandments, love one another. And we oftentimes say we love one another, but we act with hatred and other things which are not love and are not edifying and are not pleasing to God. So keep his commandments and love one another. Today, of course, we celebrate the first Saturday of this month of May dedicated to the Blessed Mother of God, the ever-Virgin Immaculate Mary. It's a day that she has asked us to go to Mass and Communion, and as soon as possible, before or after, to go to confession, to receive the plenary indulgence of this day and in this shrine when we pray before this image of Our Lady, which has in the past performed many, many miracles, including that sometimes she has come to life and moved, and her lips moved, etc., etc. That when we pray before her, we may receive a plenary indulgence according to the law of the Church. Do as he commands. Do as she commands. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.